What's up, everyone? Welcome to your weekly tech update, the show that explores the newest, coolest, and sometimes admittedly mind-boggling side of tech available on the interwebs. I am your geek commander, Ray McNeil, and coming up on the program today, 20 Super Nintendo games are now available to play on the Nintendo Switch, and some of them with online capabilities. Acer has announced their $14,000 gaming chair because why not? And happening in this week's What the? A California fire department drops fire retardant on a reporter live on TV. That and a whole lot more coming up on today's edition of your weekly tech update next. LG's first AR headset had a strange limitation to it. It would only play games, and at launch, there was just one of them. That was the Star Wars Jedi Challenges. Sure, that's a massive franchise, but it was hard to believe the company expected people to spend $200 on an AR kit just to play a single game. Now, as it turns out, the Star Wars title will no longer be Mirage AR's solo offering. Continuing its partnership with Disney, Lenovo is releasing a new Marvel Avengers game called Dimension of Heroes, along with some new controllers, too. Instead of a single lightsaber like stick like before, the Marvel Dimension of Heroes kit comes with a pair of what Lenovo calls Universe controllers. These have LEDs at the top end that flash in different colors while you play, and have a semicircular handle with little joysticks on top. You'll have to put AA batteries in each, which should provide up to 8 hours of gameplay. The core technology inside the controllers are the same as before. The sticks are still tracked by two cameras on the headset. The notable advancement this time around, however, is that two controllers can now be tracked in real time. Aside from the new controllers, nothing about the original headset's hardware has changed. That means those with the older set can simply buy the new accessories and keep the headset and beacon to play the Marvel game. In Dimension of Heroes, you can play as Captain Marvel, Thor, Doctor Strange, Star-Lord, or Black Panther, and your mission is to go back in time and save the world. If none of these characters' names mean anything to you, well, you're probably not going to be interested in buying this game. Those of you paying attention, though, will probably be excited. The Dimension of Heroes game also offers a local co-op mode like the Star Wars game before it did, so you can play with a friend. You can pair up Thor and Star-Lord, for example, and create your own as Guardians of the Galaxy. The game features a real-time leaderboard competition as well for the added satisfaction of challenging strangers from around the world. The new Mirage AR kit is available right now for $240 as an Amazon exclusive. You can also find it on Lenovo.com. Those who only need the new controllers can also get them separately. And though Lenovo hasn't confirmed a price for these yet, a company rep said that the price is under $100. While a grand total of two games is by no means an impressive library of titles for the Mirage AR, the new content bodes well for the platform. Given Disney's comprehensive catalog of beloved franchises, I wouldn't be surprised if Lenovo eventually builds an AR game for every popular title the entertainment giant owns. Till then, however, I'll hold my breath for a Frozen karaoke game. The moon is all the rage these days. China wants to send people there, so too does the United States and NASA. In fact, just about every country with a space program has some sort of lunar ambition that they hope will play out over the next several years. Now, there's a new entrant into this new space race. It's a nonprofit organization called the Open Lunar Foundation. It's based in San Francisco. It's a group of tech executives and engineers, many of them with former ties to NASA, who have serious ambitions to create a lunar settlement. The driving ethos behind the foundation is to start a development that would not be beholden to a particular country or billionaire. Instead, as the group's name suggests, Open Lunar wants to create technology for exploring and living on the moon as a type of collaborative effort. Our highest ambition is catalyzing and enabling a peaceful and cooperative lunar settlement. That comes from Chelsea Robinson, the Chief of Operations and Staff for Open Lunar. At this time, when there are so many commercial and government actors advancing their efforts on the moon, we are excited to demonstrate a civic approach to participation. Open Lunar began a few years ago as something of a thought exercise. A group of friends in Silicon Valley were taking stock of the dramatic improvements in aerospace technology, along with the falling cost of rocket launches, thanks to companies like Elon Musk's Space Exploration Technologies, and Peter Beck's Rocket Lab, of course. The friends came to the realization that it might soon be possible to create a small lunar settlement for about $2 to $3 billion. It's a hefty sum, but a very achievable one in an era that abounds with wealthy space enthusiasts. And so the friends decided to explore the idea of going to the moon in earnest. The picture that emerged out of those meetings was that you could create a permanent, economically self-sustaining presence on the moon that could be done for single-digit billions, said Steve Jarvidson, a venture capitalist who provided the initial Open Lunar funding. I got excited by that idea and the compelling nature of the people involved. Some of the most prominent members of the group include the astronaut Chris Hadfield, who has spent time on the International Space Station, Will Marshall and Robbie Shingler, co-founders of the satellite maker Planet Labs Incorporated, Simon Pete Warden, the former director of NASA's Ames Research Center, and Jarvidson, who has invested in both SpaceX and Planet Labs. Hadfield is listed as a director of Open Lunar in nonprofit filings as well, while the others are advisors to the foundation. These individuals, along with dozens of other people, have spent the last 18 months meeting in private to figure out what sort of early missions would make the most sense. Working ideas include smaller, cheaper missions to put various probes and robotic systems on the lunar surface rather than one massive mission. Many of the people behind Open Lunar have built up reputations as some of the most deliberate thinkers around space exploration. Some have long track records organizing youth space groups, advising the United Nations on space policy, and campaigning against the weaponization of space. If anyone were to create an open source lunar program, it might be the team behind this project. I want to look up at the full moon and have it mirror back to me not just light like it has for millennia, Robinson said, but mirror a vision for how we want our future to operate here on Earth. Nintendo Switch Online members have been able to play NES games on the Switch for several months now, and now you can finally play Super Nintendo games too. A whole bunch of them just dropped, and they're included with a Switch Online subscription. Among the 20 classics you'll be able to experience once again, or even for the first time, at the onset are Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, F-Zero, Super Metroid, Super Soccer, The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past, and many, many more. It's the first time Stunt Race FX will be officially available on a system that's not the Super Nintendo 2, and it'll add more Super Nintendo games in the near future. As with the Nintendo games, you can play these online. The Rewind system is also available here, which comes in quite handy when you make a mistake or want to try something with a different tactic without having to replay an entire section. Similar to its NES controller for the Switch, Nintendo is offering Switch Online members the chance to buy a wireless Super Nintendo-style controller, though you can still play the Super Nintendo titles with your Joy-Cons or any other controller you have. It costs $30 and starts shipping on September 18th. This isn't a chair, this is a rig. It's a throne. It's a gaming monster. Check this out. The Acer Predator Thronos Air Gaming Chair is a $13,999 device that has everything, including a massage function. The Predator Thronos Air is a massive steel structure that encases gamers in an immersive experience. There are three monitor mounts, an adjustable keyboard and mouse tray, a footrest, and a complex cable management system to hide all wires connecting everything together. If that's not enough, Acer has several available accessories like a cup holder, cameras, and hubs. The only things missing are the gaming computer, monitors, keyboards, and, well, you. This is Acer's second gaming chair, and this one is actually half the price of the original. Announced at IFA 2018, the $30,000 Predator Thronos gaming chair packs even more goodies, including a powered recline mode to tilt the entire rig 140 degrees. This version, however, requires a ground floor location and a floor that can support up to 715 pounds. These sort of gaming rigs have been available for several years now and provide a unique vantage point for gamers and flight sim operators. Many can be had for less than these Acer examples, but few have a more imposing name than Thronos. After a plethora of teases and an almost daily barrage of videos and images of the vehicle, the final production version of the all-electric Porsche Taycan has been revealed. The first pure EV from the German automaker comes in two variants, Turbo and Turbo S, and it starts at $150,000, or $153,000 if you put a deposit down for the launch edition, and will start being delivered by the end of the year. The Taycan started as the concept Mission E 4 years ago at the Frankfurt Motor Show. Since then, Porsche has been doling out a steady stream of information, teaser images, and videos of the vehicle's prowess. The turbo trim level will hit 60 in 3 seconds. This is the first vehicle in the company's e-performance lineup, with the Taycan Cross Turismo coming in by the end of next year and an all-electric vehicle landing in the automaker's SUV lineup too. With over 20,000 pre-orders already on the books, the automaker is off to a good start with its new venture, but with a 6 billion euro investment allotted to its electrification plans, well, it's going to take all three of those things and the Porsche buying public to buy into this new world to make financial sense. The rumors surrounding Lamborghini's application of hybrid technology will finally materialize at the 2019 Frankfurt Motor Show. The Italian firm introduced a limited edition model called the Cyan, which stands out as its most powerful street-legal car ever and its first production-bound hybrid model. The Cyan's gasoline-electric powertrain gives Lamborghini's mighty V12 engine a new lease on life. It's completely different than the setup found in the 2014 LP910 concept, and it's considerably more advanced than a standard hybrid system. An electric motor sandwiched between the engine and the transmission receives electricity from a supercapacitor and injects 34 horsepower into the drivetrain. While that sounds like a rounding error in a car with the Raging Bull emblem on its nose, the 48-volt mild hybrid system helps the Cyan return better gas mileage, provides a boost under hard acceleration, and powers the car on its own at ultra-low speeds, such as when parking. The hardware tips the scale at a reasonable 75 pounds. Lightweight composite materials like carbon fiber offset the hybrid system's mass. The mid-mounted V12 relies on titanium intake valves to generate 785 horsepower, a figure that makes it the most powerful road car engine in Lamborghini's 56-year history. The system's total output checks in at 819 horsepower. The Cyan takes 2.8 seconds to reach 62 miles per hour from a dead stop, and its top speed lies somewhere north of 220. Visually, the Cyan blends styling cues from Lamborghini's emblematic past models with features borrowed from its futuristic forward-thinking concept cars. The wide, Y-shaped LED daytime running lights come straight from the Terzo Millennio introduced in 2017, while the six hexagonal rear lights are a nod in the direction of another vehicle released in 1974. The Gandini line that characterizes every Lamborghini is accounted for. It defines the car's low slung profile. The interior reflects Lamborghini's drive to make its cars more high-tech. The driver faces a digital configurable instrument cluster. Leather and 3D printed parts continue bridging the gap between Lamborghini's heritage and its future. Lamborghini will make 63 examples of the Cyan by hand in their Italian factory. It chose that number because it was founded in 1963. Pricing information hasn't been released yet, but it's too late to add your name to the waiting list because the entire production run has already been spoken for. We're tempted to say that Cyan, a name which means flash or lightning in the Balinese dialect, sheds light on upcoming Lamborghini models. But the company beat us to the punch by announcing its latest model is a rolling display of the technology that will shape its cars during the 2020s. It represents the first step in Lamborghini's route to electrification and expedites our next generation V12 engine. That's according to the company boss. The upcoming vehicles that will be released in the 2020s are going to be packing much of the same technology showcased in the Cyan, notably using supercapacitors rather than lithium-ion battery packs. Of course, it will add cost and complexity, but it could give Lamborghini an edge over its rivals. MIT engineers created a thread-like robot that can glide through the brain's blood vessels and could deliver clot-reducing drugs to treat strokes or aneurysms. The robotic thread could offer an alternative to open brain surgery, and it could be controlled by surgeons outside of the operating room. Now, theoretically, surgeons could control it remotely from an entirely different location. The team described the magnetically steerable hydrogel-coated robotic thread in a paper published in Science Robotics. The core of the thread is made from nickel-titanium alloy, which is both bendy and springy. It's coated with a rubbery paste or ink, which is embedded with magnetic particles. That's then covered with a hydrogel, which makes the wire smooth and friction-free. And the final product can be controlled using magnets. Today, researchers typically clear blood clots in the brain by inserting a thin wire through a person's main artery. The surgeons use a fluoroscope, which images the blood vessel using X-rays, to manually rotate and guide the wire into the damaged brain vessel. A catheter is then threaded along the wire to deliver drugs and other clot therapies. But the procedure is physically taxing on the surgeons, who are exposed to repeated radiation from the fluoroscope, and the wires carry the risk of damaging the vessel's linings. Now, in contrast, this robotic thread is controlled by magnets, and surgeons could guide it from outside the operating room. They'd be protected from repeated radiation exposure, and they might be able to perform procedures remotely using a joystick. Yes, remote robotic brain surgery using a joystick. Thanks to the hydrogel, there's less risk of friction against the vessel lining as well, and the device could help surgeons reach even further into the brain. One of the challenges in surgery has been to be able to navigate through complicated blood vessels in the brain, which has a very small diameter, where commercial catheters just can't reach. This research, however, has shown potential to overcome this challenge and enable surgical procedures in the brain without open surgery. The robotic thread isn't ready for clinical use yet, but the team demonstrated its agility by steering the thread through an obstacle course of small rings, similar to threading a needle. They also created a life-sized replica of the brain's major blood vessels and guided the robot through those winding, narrow paths. Eventually, they hope the robotic wire might deliver clot-reducing drugs or break up blockages with a laser. Sony's PlayStation 2 is currently the best-selling video game console of all time, having sold over 159 million units since its release back in 2000. Now, over 3,800 games have been released for the console, with over 1.5 billion copies sold. There were several smaller, lighter revisions of the console too, known as slimline models, in 2004, but one thing that they never made was a portable version. But Reddit user DarkWingMod created the next best thing. Unlike other portable models, the Pi S2 one uses real PS2 hardware paired with a Raspberry Pi 2, which loads game files over an Ethernet-connected SMB server without resorting to any type of emulation. Now, this means titles run full speed and full motion video cutscenes perfectly, just as they did on the original hardware, because it is original. Inside, you'll find the PS2 Slim hardware complete with a screen that has both VGA and composite signals. A full charge is good for about 90 minutes of gameplay, and I say it's well worth a look. And finally, happening in this week's What the? A California fire airplane dropped fire retardant on a Southern California fire and caught an NBC 7 reporter by surprise while he was reporting on live television. Stephen Luke was reporting from Riverside County on the efforts to control the wildfire. He was in the middle of his newscast report when suddenly, right before he tossed back to the anchors in the studio, a California fire aircraft appeared from the other side of a hill and opened its cargo doors. A large cloud of fire retardant landed on Luke, his photographer Scott Baird, and a number of Kern County hotshots in the area. Instead of dropping his camera and running, Baird held the shot and, well, you can see for yourself, captured the retardant drop in all of its glory. Luke said he heard fire crews behind him say, "Whoa!" and run seconds before it happened. It's kind of like pink raindrops. It really doesn't stick to you or your clothing, he said afterwards. You can wipe it off with a wet cloth. Firefighters grabbed hoses from nearby houses and helped to wash down garage doors, sidewalks, and awnings. The aircraft was an MD-87 air tanker owned by Erickson Aerotankers, who was contracted with California Fire. That plane has a storage capacity of 3,000 gallons. The NBC7 crew was reporting from a neighborhood that was under evacuation, but they were not in an area where media was not allowed to be at the time of the retardant drop. Thanks for watching your weekly tech update. If you have a story you think we should feature on the program, why don't you contact me? Send me an email at djraymcneil@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Tech Update. Check out the podcast too, audio and video versions available on iTunes, Google, Spotify, Audioburst, and elsewhere on the interwebs. Till next time, I'm Ray McNeil. Good night, world. Your weekly tech update brought to you by Holiday Home Care, Phillip Island, Victoria, Australia. It's your turn to relax.